You've probably figured out by now, by many of the examples that I use in my homilies, that when I'm not here at church, and when I'm not, you know, polishing church brass or making candles, one of my pastimes is to aimlessly scroll through Facebook and Instagram. It's where I get a lot of the wonderful images that I use for these homilies. But it's also a way in which I try to stay connected, particularly in this difficult time, to stay connected, to get insights into the lives of well, you all, just anyone. One of the things that I enjoy most are the insights into family life. Of course, not having a family of my own, being able to garner some insights into that, to be able to understand and appreciate the role that especially parents play. And what better time to acknowledge that wonderful vocation than here on Mother's Day, the important role that both mothers and fathers, but especially on this day, the role that mothers play in forming their children. And how difficult that can be, which is why I like to see insights into it and then remind myself that I don't have to worry about all of that. One of the things that makes me smile often are these recognitions, especially when we're quarantined and cooped up, that parents, especially when they have young children, often find themselves just needing a little time to themselves. These memes or images or reminders of, you know, that the children just kind of follow you everywhere, and they always have questions, and they just can't ever seem to get away. It's not that the mom or dad doesn't love their child. That's, of course, not it. It's just that it becomes a bit much after a while. They're always watching you. They're always listening. They're always there, it seems. And children, especially teenagers, can be really good about pointing out the contradictions, pointing out the ways in which a parent or the mom and the dad might say one thing and then do another. Now, you said you would do this, but now we're here doing this. It often boils down to the reality that parents have many other things on their minds. And so the reality that the child sees is not the fullness that the parent is trying to live out. Plus, the parents are human as well. They make mistakes. And yet, the contradictions are there. We don't like that. We rebel against that. That need for fairness inside us, which is good, reacts negatively when we encounter contradictions. And there are plenty of contradictions when it comes to our relationship with the church. I'm right there with you, especially as I was preparing to enter seminary. There were any number of those hot topic issues that I would have said 10, 15 years ago, you know, I really don't believe that. I really don't think that that's true. What I failed to understand was that it wasn't that I didn't believe it, it's that I didn't really fully understand it. The analogy holds fast in that we refer to the church as our mother, that she, it's not an it, it's a she, Mary being an image of the church, a church being an image of Mary, a motherhood being very much a big part of what the church is meant to be, the bride of Christ. All of these work together to form this understanding that the church is meant to be not just like a mother, but a mother to us all. And we can look at our mother, especially when those who lead us in our faith aren't always acting and proclaiming by their actions what it is that we profess to believe. The many scandals that have rocked the church in the last two decades, evidence of that. But I have experienced that sense of contradiction when the church says one thing and seems to do another, or preaches this and then does that. It can be hard to take sometimes, particularly when it comes to truths that we desire to live out. This reaction against contradiction is a part of life. And we desire authenticity, and yet it's a desire that doesn't always go satisfied, especially in our relationships with one another. As I grew in my understanding of what it is that the church actually teaches, I began to realize that the contradictions weren't in the church herself. The contradictions were in me. That the bride of Christ herself is doing and living what it is that Christ has called her to do. The contradictions are within me. When we hear our gospel for today, it is a gospel that speaks of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. It is a gospel that we might look to and see within it that paradigm from a decade or so ago. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And this paradigm, this way of thinking, I believe fell out of favor because of the contradiction. Those who would wear the bracelets and do all that kind of stuff, what would Jesus do? And then they would act in a way that Jesus wouldn't act. It really begins to erode away our capacity to follow someone or to truly believe that when the contradictions begin to get in the way. And yet the love is there. When Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, that itself is a sort of a contradiction. Jesus is the way, and yet that way ended very suddenly at the cross. Jesus is the truth, and yet there is the truth that the world presents and then the truth that Jesus presents. How do we mesh those two together? And Jesus is the life, and yet he says we have to lose our life to gain it. This reality, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, may just simply roll off the tongue like, what would Jesus do? And yet the reality of it, especially when it meets contradictions, is difficult to fully live. And I propose that the contradiction isn't in the scripture. The contradiction is within us. The same contradiction that says that a sinner can become a saint, that God loves us all completely and fully and in such a valuable way, and yet calls us to conversion. These apparent contradictions cause people to just brush this truth aside. And yet it calls us deeper if we truly give ourselves over to it, calls us deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. In conversation with particularly high school students, those who often have, pizza available to them, at least when they're in school and going to the cafeteria, I will say something like, God probably doesn't really care if you have pizza for lunch. God probably doesn't really, it probably doesn't really matter to God. But what does matter to God is your willingness to hand that over. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And simple things like what to eat for lunch, what to do with your day, how to look at the current situation in our lives, how to look at your relationship with those whom you live and work and have life with. These are the areas in which God is inviting us to look for the way, the truth, and the life, and to not stop short, to not stop too quickly, to see through the contradictions, to see through that tension, just the way in which a mother loves her child, no matter what. Even though contradictions are apparent to the child, the love is always there. We have a very valuable opportunity. During the midst of all this difficulty, we have the opportunity to really ask ourselves, what does it mean for Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life? Is that for you just a throwaway line like, what would Jesus do? Or is that fully and in a remarkable way calling you to a new way of life? Let us, as we look around and see the reality of a world in which things we have put faith in begin to lose their luster, let us really attempt, as best we can, to live this beautiful reality that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.